The year is 1066, the one date in history that every Englishman remembers. When William the Conqueror, coming across from Normandy, defeated Harold at the Battle of Hastings. And this was to have three important effects on Scotland. The first was that many Northern English, fearing the advance of the Norman conquerors, fled across the border, taking their language and their culture with them. Now, their language was the Northern version of Old English, and bearing very little resemblance to the English we speak today. That language went north into Scotland. At the time it was called Inglis, but eventually became known as Scots and spread widely around many parts of the country. It's the language that occurs to some extent in some of Robbie Burns' poems. It's the language you'll hear the remnants of if you go to places like the Fish Keys of Aberdeen and other northeast fishing villages. Listen to the people talking there. You'll not understand them unless you're from that area. They're not speaking Gaelic. They're not speaking English. They're speaking, if you like, the modern version of the old Scots language. The second main effect on Scotland was caused by the arrival of the Princess Margaret of the defeated Anglo-Saxon household. She also fled northwards out of England seeking refuge, and the Scottish king, Malcolm Canmore, Malcolm III, who was widowed, gave her sanctuary and married her. It was more an act of chivalry, but it seems that as time passed, they fell deeply in love. Anyway, Malcolm gave Margaret complete freedom to reform the Celtic Church. Now, let me explain what I mean. There was only one Christian church. That was the Church of Rome. Christianity had arrived hundreds of years before with St. Columba and his missionaries, but Scotland was a very isolated place, and indeed one part of the country was isolated from another, and gradually, over hundreds of years, the form of Christian worship and doctrine began to vary from place to place and to differ from that being practiced by the universal church throughout the rest of the world. Now, obviously, if a country claimed to be an independent, unified Christian country, it would need to be recognized as such by the church, by the Pope. And clearly, this couldn't happen if its Christianity varied around the country and differed from the rest of the church elsewhere. So, Margaret worked to bring the Scottish Christian Church back into line with Rome, thereby raising the status of her adopted country so it was ready for international recognition. She was later canonized Saint Margaret of Scotland. The third main effect of the Norman conquest was the result of an extraordinary meeting between William the Conqueror and Malcolm Canmore. I don't know if William had read his history books. I don't know if he'd read that the Romans had never successfully conquered Scotland, but he didn't try. Instead, he came northwards for a peaceful conference with the King of Scots, and as a result of this meeting, the Norman barons, hungry for land, were able to build up huge Scottish estates. But as William the Conqueror arrived, Malcolm did something that was to plague English-Scottish relationships for centuries afterwards. Purely as a diplomatic gesture, and it meant no more than that, he paid homage to William as he arrived. But from then onwards, the kings of England constantly tried to pressure the Scottish kings to pay homage to them and be subject to them. As the result of the barons building up these huge estates, the Norman influence and the influx of Norman nobility meant that yet another culture was absorbed. And so, by the 13th century and the ascension to the throne of Alexander III, Norman French was already the language of the court and of the nobility, most of whom were of direct Norman ancestry. It was also the language of many of the clergy who had Norman ancestry as well, south of the mountainous and more Celtic regions. Latin, of course, was always the language of the church and the law. So, Alexander III came to the throne, and it was under his reign, under his rule, that Scotland really became a nation. But we'll tell you all about him in episode 4, next time.